science tells us that being angry, sorry, Sam, but I thought of you when I read that.
Yeah, I don't know why.
You're not an angry person, but when you do get angry, it's pretty pronounced. Okay, so being angry activates your detail-oriented side. What do you say to that?
Does it?
I thought it would be the reverse.
Yeah, no.
My detail-oriented side.
No, apparently.
Yeah, instigated the anger.
Yeah, because the anger is typically an emotional reaction, which is right brain, which is not particularly detail-oriented.
When people are
Jody's might be bringing this up because I got mad at the copy machine out there today.
Oh, no, it's not specific.
But it did not enhance my detail
orientation. I was going to ask you, did it make you any smarter trying to fix it?
No, it just made me mad.
I didn't say smarter. It's about being detail-oriented. Okay, so research says being angry, when you're in a bad mood, they tested people, you're able to find inconsistencies faster. Isn't that crazy? Now, let me tell you what jumps to mind.
No, that makes sense because usually it's an inconsistency that started it.
Right. Yeah. Which makes you angry.
Yeah.
I know. What jumped to my mind when I read this is Sam, because he is very much about things being, you know, right and consistent. And he's a good, like, if I ever have anything that I need edited, Sam's the one. It doesn't matter if I've read it three times. It's like, read this for me. And he will find something.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a gift. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Some say it's a curse.
I also...
It would make you a difficult professor, wouldn't it?
Oh, God. Yes.
I also thought of, I don't know if this is along the same lines. I feel like it might be. And I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but I feel like women do it. I don't know why. Sometimes when we start cleaning, we get angry. It's like, I'm cleaning this house and it is, look at this floor. I can't believe. And you just get mad and you're better. You clean it better.
Yeah. If I start with a purpose of I'm just mopping this floor.
Right.
Oh, look at the baseboards. And got to do those two. Oh, and then I discover this. Oh,
but it enhances your cleaning
it
performance.
It does, because then I attack it all.
I know. Murphy gets happy when he cleans. So of course you're the oddball out.
It's productive. Look, when you've got it done, it's like, oh.
It does feel good when you've got it done. But most women who are running a home and kids and all that do know what angry cleaning is. Okay, it happens and you don't even realize that you've done it. But just so you know, when you are in a bad mood or an angry state, your mind finds inconsistencies better. So maybe use it to your advantage at work. Must-take trips that Americans rate, okay? And we're going to get to it, but I want to first start by saying this is so interesting to me, especially. I love to travel. When I was a kid, one summer vacation. We've talked about that before. I went on one summer vacation because that's my family couldn't afford it.
Yeah,
it wasn't a thing. Disney was something that might as well have been a foreign country to me.
Yeah,
when I was a kid.
Yeah, we didn't get to go to Disney either.
But you went to the beach every summer.
Yes.
Was that a vacation in your mind?
Oh, yeah. It's the only vacation we did.
Okay. And Sam?
We went to all the breweries.
Oh, that's right. Every summer?
No. Love that story.
My aunt and uncle took us on vacation every year.
Away from your parents?
I think it was because my parents, it was financial.
Sure.
And they were willing to do it, so they took us to Disney, Six Flags. And then at some point, my parents started doing it.
Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah. Okay. And then, yeah, we usually hit whatever the sightseeing we did, there was always a brewery in town or nearby.
Well, you know, the adults get to do their vacation too.
Yes.
It's funny because I was having this conversation with a friend the other day, and it's like, we were talking about how special your cousins can be. When you grow up with cousins, you grow up with best friends. They become your best friends. And because we didn't go on summer vacations, my family and I would go visit my cousins, Candace and Crystal, as often as I could in the summers, sometimes for just a few days or sometimes for a whole week. That became my summer, and it means the world to me that I had it. It's the reason we are close. Yeah. I know it is because we spent that time. But so most Americans, like close to 40 to 50%, never took summer vacations as kids. Mm-hmm. Like adults now didn't do it. So it's a big part of we're doing it. Like we're going to do it as a family, you know, whatever it may be, whatever you can work out. The top five destination places. Disney World.
Yeah.
Not surprising.
Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
It's like a must see. Everybody wants to see it. You like that? Grand Canyon coming in at number three.
Yeah,
and I've actually seen that. It was a church trip.
I haven't seen that one yet.
You've got to do that, Sam. White House and Washington monuments and all of that being number two on the list. And number one on the list for Americans, for all of those Americans who missed out on summer vacations as kids, Las Vegas, baby.
Is it really?
For casinos, gambling, shopping, adult entertainment. Maybe you're making up for that lost childhood.
While you're there, you can see the Grand Canyon.
In Sin City, yeah. We were just visiting about Americans' vacation wish lists, especially if you grew up and not going on many trips or vacations or any. Mm-hmm. You know, you're grown up now and you can kind of make this happen. What's your big wish?
I am surprised that Disney World's not at the top of the list.
It was in the top five.
I mean, I get Vegas number one for adults.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
You're the one footing the bill. Okay. 877-310-4MSJ.
What's yours, Sarah?
When we were growing up, we didn't do family vacations. My mom was a nurse, and she just never had time off. So I made it a point when I had children, we were going to do family vacations.
Yeah.
I'm a school teacher, so I'm pretty fortunate that I have summers off with the kids. And so we pick a couple places on the map. We throw camping gear in the back of the car, and we just go.
Cool.
We did Washington, D.C. We were in New York City for the 4th of July fireworks. And then we did Niagara Falls, and we might camp a couple of nights. We might last minute book a hotel in Manhattan, but we're able to just spend that time together making memories and never really having a plan, just saying, hey, I want to go here and figuring out how to get there.
Yeah.
We find that that's true on the weekends. Don't over plan. And the best stuff is just delightful because you didn't have any expectation, you know?
You just went.
I know.
You just went. We throw the devices down and we talk and we just have a good time. Connect with each other.
Good stuff. I love it. And so this year, no overplanning?
No overplanning. We are going to, we are driving to visit my brother who lives in Denver. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to pick some spots along the way and figure out what we're doing from there.
Sweet.
I hear there's a big canyon in the area.
Okay.
That's one of the things my brother is super excited to take his niece and nephew to see. So we will definitely be hitting that big canyon.
But, yeah, you should. Yeah. You know, everybody should see it once.
Fun spots along the way too.
Yeah,
I'm excited. It'll be the first time I see it.
That's fun, Sarah. Thank you. I guess now that I'm thinking about it, Jody, I mean, it's really the time of year to start planning your summer. If you're a planner, you know.
I think it was a couple of weeks ago was the big peak of planning it. They
was
say
it?
Late January, early February. So yeah, it's all underway planning.
I wish I could be as spontaneous as Sarah. That's just not me. That sounds honestly.
That I would like to see.
No, we wouldn't have water bottles. Like, no.
Jody, you were reading a comment a moment ago from Heather. She wrote into our Facebook page.
About the No Pressure New Year.
No Pressure New Year. And she was saying that one of her goals is just to move around. And you
move
were saying you don't have to be an Olympian. And one thing you said to do is park farther out, you know, when you're parking. And to me, that actually has a double benefit. And it's one that I use all the time.
Oh.
Because it's you also don't have any stress. When you look at how people fight over the closest position, I mean, it's unnecessary stress. So I always park at the far end of the lot. I get good exercise.
Oh, that's so funny, Murphy.
Unless it's raining. But,
always thought that you did that for another reason.
You didn't want anybody to hit his truck?
Exactly.
No, that's not the reason I do
protect
that.
Protect the Batmobile.
You know, it's already got some dings in it, so I'm not.
I know.
But, you know, I mean, it's amazing how you, when you park farther out, you got your choice of spaces.
Oh yeah,
take your time, walk, you know, and it's just, if it's a good enough day.
Do you know that I saw
good exercise.
I saw a debate online the other day. We should probably ask you and let you tell us, in fact tell us on our Facebook page or call us if you want to, about whether it's better to back into a parking spot or pull straight in.
Oh, I have seen that so much recently. It's like,
it's a personal choice.
Yeah.
It really, really is. There's no right or wrong.
You got the people
answer.
That argue that you need to pull in so that you back, and it's like, well, I like to back in so that when I leave, I can do
pull
it quicker.
Out. Right.
It's six in one hand, half dozen in the other.
Truth.
Well, in some parking spaces, too, this is where Jody's going to snooze out on me. It depends on the turning radius of your vehicle.
Oh.
Sometimes backing in is actually easier for you to get out than it is the other way around.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, again, it just depends. I also like, you know, it's not about getting out fast as much as it is. I feel more comfortable with my surroundings, knowing if I'm in a parking lot, I can see people and other things like that. So,
well, my uncle, Terry, who is a retired police officer, but he's always a police officer in his mind. Like in his, like you don't shake that.
Yeah.
Everything about him that's a police officer is still there. He just doesn't wear the badge anymore. He backs into every parking spot. When we go somewhere to a public place, he's always watching the doors. He, you know, he watches people tell stories. He's always sniffing out what's going on.
Going back to the parking thing, there are some places that tell you do not park, do not back in. Like when we were in D.C. over the summer, there were spots that say no backing in, just park.
Probably because it's too small of an area. And that,
Social Media Connect.
We like hearing from you there on Facebook and Instagram. And I posted a picture the other day, one of my makeup hacks.
Yeah.
And I literally, like, if you know, you know. It's a picture of a tube of makeup foundation cut. Mm-hmm. I cut it on the end.
At a 45-degree angle.
Well, I mean, you can cut it any angle you want. That's the angle I chose.
Okay.
Have you guys ever done anything like that?
Toothpaste.
You do that with toothpaste?
Wait, you've taken a pair of scissors to toothpaste?
Yeah.
To get more out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't know people. Doesn't it get messy? Sticky?
It's only when you're like really at the very end and you haven't gone to the store to buy another thing yet.
So it's necessity.
It's like, well, it's either don't brush or cut it and squeeze this little bit out.
Because, I mean, if I flatten that baby out, usually I would think I couldn't get any more out of it.
There's always more.
Is there really?
Anything that's in a tube, but for women with makeup, especially, you spend a lot of money on the right foundation. It's the right color. It's usually not cheap.
Right.
You do this or you learn the hard way to do this. The first time I ever did it, I cut the tube. And I could not believe I got two or three more faces out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was so blown away. So Tia on our Facebook page at this picture says, oh, yeah, it's too expensive. No way I'm leaving any of it in there, even though my husband laughs at me all the time when I do this.
When you do cut it, do you use it? Do you squeeze it out or you stick your finger in and get it out?
I squeeze it out.
Okay.
And then I cover it like with plastic wrap or something so that it doesn't dry out because I'm getting another face out of it. I'm telling you, I get another use.
You don't cut it all the way across if you just cut it like a little corner off.
You're right. See, I should have called you, Sam.
No.
Number one hack, girlfriend.
Are you going to try that with your makeup, Sam?
Dina says, I do that as well with all skincare products. I've never had to do that, but skincare products especially are, you know, they're high dollar and they every drop you want. You want every single drop.
Well, that sunscreen, too.
I'm going to have to start cutting all the tubes of
everything's cut.
This could get messy.
Rosalind says, a girl on Shark Tank had the Spat Daddy, a mini spatula to scrape out exactly things like this. Thank you for that hack as well. We love hearing from you. Keep it coming on Facebook and Instagram. Join us anytime. We like to hear from you. 877-310-4MSJ.
Hi, Clayton. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to say thank you. You're my new radio station.
Nice.
You guys put on a real good show.
Well, thank you for that. We appreciate it. What are you doing right now? Heading to work?
I'm coming home from work.
Oh, nice. What do you do?
I'm a security guard.
Oh, right. Mm. Is it a busy security guard situation or is it a slow passing of time?
No, it's a quiet little off the beaten path place that just has to have representation there. So
sure.
It's quiet. It's good though.
How do you pass the time?
I get out of work and on my ride home, I've got you guys on the radio and you're my new station that I've been listening to for like the last 6 months.
Yay. And, well, thank you.
You guys put on a nice show. Well, I'm very happy with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Who's your favorite? Joking.
I'm going to say Jody.
Oh, there you go.
I'm so glad I asked.
Yeah, good answer.
Oh. Well, look, we love knowing you're there. You call us anytime. Appreciate you.
Alrighty, thank you. You guys have a wonderful day and a good week, okay?
You too, Clayton.
Hearing that he works as a security guard at a place that's off the beaten path, I'm thinking, that sounds like an action movie right there.
It does.
You know, when you least expect it.
It sounds to me like it would be lovely to do something that's low-key, although important.
Yeah.
Like, you know, most of the time, if you're a security guard for a low-key place, it's a low-key shift.
Everything runs smoothly.
But
with any luck, yeah.
Right. But if you are needed to jump into action.
When Hans shows up with his detonators.
Right. Have I watched too much?
Too much.
Security guards are important.
Yeah. I was one, remember?
Oh, that's right.
I know. I'm stretching it. And it was a summer job at a construction site of a nursing home. And but I was the security guard.
That's good. And you didn't carry anything, though,
right?
Did you
carry a weapon?
Pepper spray.
Oh, you did carry pepper spray.
Yeah, because we had snakes.
You didn't pepper spray snakes.
Didn't have to. They were smart.
Yeah, it's a good thing you were protecting the construction site from snakes.
By the way, it was also off the beaten path.
Murphy, when I got that really big air fryer that looks like a big red... I don't know what you call it.
It looks like a big red air fryer, yeah. You got a screaming deal on that because it was in an estate sale, you know? And
it's not just a deal, Jody.
It's a screaming deal. How many things can
these
you get?
These babies are moving.
For $10.
15.
Okay. All right, so it was a deal.
No wonder he thought it was a screaming deal.
My friend let me into her family's estate sale before it went public.
Uh-huh.
And I got a big mirror that leans against the wall. What do you call that? Wall mirror or whatever.
Yeah.
And I got an air fryer. And it had only been used like once. It was
the
so
mirror or the air fryer?
Both. Anyway, so I have this big new gorgeous red air fryer. The first thing I ever tried in it, I went simple and we did french fries.
Yeah.
Man, they were
straight from the freezer into
fantabulous.
The fryer.
Yeah. But the next thing I made and have played with, I've made it a few times since. Fried shrimp in the air fryer.
Are you using frozen shrimp or are you using the real and you peel them and all that?
I use the real shrimp. They used to swim in the ocean, okay? They're real. They're not fake shrimp.
But they are frozen. Part of this is supposed to be fast, right?
They're frozen and then I defrost them all day. Uh-huh. Okay, so they're cold and wet and
yeah.
Dead.
Okay.
Anyway, Amanda asked us on our Facebook page. How to make them.
What's that recipe for the cold, wet, dead shrimp?
Please let me say. So you just do a pound of shrimp. You coat it in flour. And I like them with the tails on to fry them. But whatever.
You don't eat the tails, do you?
No.
You know, there are people that do eat the tails.
I know. It's weird. Anyway, you coat them in flour, then you drop them in some egg wash, okay? And then you have ready a mixture. It's like a cup of plain breadcrumbs and a cup of panko breadcrumbs, and you season all of that.
Yeah.
And I use like Cajun seasoning. You can do Italian seasoning if you want, whatever. Make sure you season it up, though. You put all the wet shrimp in that dry mixture, and you shake them up. And you put them in the air fryer at 380 for like 7 to 8 minutes, depending on the size of your shrimp.
Do you do a shake halfway through?
Halfway through. You take it out, look at it, and shake it up. You can even put some cooking spray in the basket to give it a more fried sort of feel. That's how I make them. We've posted it also in our Back in the Groove food. Thank you for asking, Amanda.
Here's what's trending. Jody's Hollywood Outsider.
Powered by State Farm.
Got some Jamie Lee Curtis news. And remember, she just recently won an Oscar.
To all of the people who have supported the genre movies that I have made for all these years, the thousands and hundreds of thousands of people.
She was so funny.
We just won an Oscar.
She was so cute. Okay, so while she was traveling around doing the PR for Halloween Ends, she said that she got asked multiple times about another Freaky Friday movie. Now, she did Freaky Friday, the remake, with Lindsay Lohan. And the word is, she said, you know what everybody's asking? She called up Disney and said, we need to make this happen. So apparently, Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis are in talks right now for another Freaky Friday, a sequel. And I like that because I want that for Lindsay Lohan. I want her to come back.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, winning an Oscar really carries some weight, doesn't it?
It does. You can get anybody on the phone when you're an Academy Award winner. And you're Jamie Lee Curtis. I also have a quick little Oprah piece of news. She is co-writing a book. This sounds like right up your alley, Murphy. Arthur C. Brooks is the writer. Mm-hmm. Build the Life You Want.
I love that.
It's kind of a self-help thing, all about turning difficult situations into opportunities, strengthening families, and here's a big one, managing emotions. Are you ready for what single men say they enjoy about being single?
Well, all we have to do is ask Sam,
well,
right?
Yes, but we want to get the, you know, overall broad answer to.
When you list these here, I'll tell you yay or nay.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
And most of them are probably yay.
And I'm going to read them to you. They're fascinating, but I also want to throw this in. I have plenty of single women friends, and they say the exact same thing.
Makes sense.
We're not that, you know, we're different, men and women, but we're not that different either. And here's the perfect reason. Okay, so what men reveal they say they love about being single. More space to yourself, no arguments.
Ding!
Okay, that one wins for you.
There are no arguments whatsoever.
I know, not at home.
Gus never disagrees, my dog.
All of my free time is mine.
You got that right.
Peace and quiet.
Well, that's not totally true.
No.
I have children. And I have grandson, and everybody has things going on that I like to make as many as I can.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
good.
Yeah, it's not all me time.
Good.
But most of it is.
Here are my favorite ones to break down. I can run the thermostat in the 60s in the winter and nobody complains.
That's right, and I sure do.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I run it cold. I love cold.
Here's one that Murphy has probably never thought of, but he's going to sit up a little straighter. You spend less money if you're single.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be buying earrings for me, would you?
I do spend money on myself.
Good.
Because you know how much I like the candles and the bath bombs.
Look, I'm going to interrupt this list of things that men have said. They really are the obvious ones because not everybody. Some people love being single and some people love being in a couple and don't like being single.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing in the world is just to know yourself and be honest with yourself about that.
Sure.
It's beautiful. I have a friend who, he's an older gentleman, and he told us, I don't like being alone. I'm going to date, and he has dated steadily.
There are people who cannot handle that, and it's not meant in a bad way.
No.
It's just people need...
You need to know yourself.
Yeah.
You need to know yourself. And every single... I have a couple of girlfriends, you know who you are, who are newly single in the last couple of years, who are divorced.
Got some names?
You know their names. They know you too, Sam.
Yeah.
No wonder I haven't gotten a call.
They both have said... Oh my gosh, at night, if I just want to eat whatever and watch TV, I do it.
Yeah, and you watch what you want to watch.
That. So know yourself.
Trending now, Jody's Hollywood Outsider.
Powered by State Farm.
You know, recently I finally finished that Pamela documentary on Netflix, and I thought it was really good.
I blocked that stolen tape out of my life in order to survive. And now that it's all coming up again, I feel sick.
I love Pamela Anderson. I know she made some, you know, interesting choices, but they were her choices to make. It is her life. And I always felt really bad for her because of the tape. But anyway.
Does she have kids with Tommy?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Two boys.
Oh.
Duh. Get on it, Sam. Anyway, I want to say this. This is so cool. 25 years after we first were like, hey, who's this girl? Wow. And her Baywatch stint on Baywatch, she has launched a swimwear line.
Are they all red?
Well, they're all her ideas, but there is that one iconic high-cut red one piece.
That makes total sense. Why in the world would it take this long for that to come to fruition?
I mean, maybe, who knows? She's been, when she's been out of the spotlight, she's been in and out of relationships, and she's also been busy doing all kinds of, charitable work and foundation work, and she's very involved with PETA and all that. But now, anyway, look for it. I don't know the name of it yet, but probably a lot of bikinis too.
Does it make you look like her?
Nothing could make you look like her.
Does it look like you run in slow motion when you wear it?
Ooh.
Hairdressers and hairstylists have weighed in, and we know now what their biggest complaints are from their clientele, from you, the client.
Mm-hmm.
And they would never tell you this. So I'm going to do it. Okay?
Because they're polite and they don't want
to. Well, you're the client. They're not going to complain to you, hopefully. Hopefully. Now, they might do it indirectly by saying, you know, the person here before you was blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
The old indirect. That's probably passive aggressive behavior.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so the number one thing is what? What do you think? The number one complaint?
Being late.
Being late. arriving late. It's a big, because it causes a domino effect for for the rest of their whole day, because they don't want to rush you and the work they need to do on you.
You make an appointment for a reason.
I know. Nothing to say about this, Murphy?
Well, no, I'm not late for my hair appointments. It's like, you know.
Good.
And I actually drive about 15 miles, 20 miles to get to mine, you know.
Look, her name is Jennifer. I can say that, right?
She's awesome.
Jennifer should be flattered to know that it would serve Murphy well and better to have someone closer, but he loves the way she does his hair, and you drive 20, 30 minutes to get to her. Sometimes in traffic.
Get a reminder the day before. I have alerts, and they even, Believe, I know that's just shocking to both of you, but I'm not late for that appointment.
Well, okay, talking on your phone while you're there.
I'm surprised at that.
I'm not surprised it happens, but in public in general, that is so rude.
See, when I sit in the chair, I turn my phone on vibrate, I lay it down.
I know. Apparently, some people just go about their biz with their, you know, gossip or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's your kid calling and there's an emergency, I'm sure that's understandable. Yeah. And that's when you say, excuse me, I need to take this. But apparently it happens a lot. Showing up sick, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's like saying, hey, I need my hair cut regardless. And then moving around, not sitting still. I'm sure I'm guilty of that. My hairstylist, Brian, will tell me, uncross your legs, stop.
Uncross your legs? What does that have to do with it?
Cut. Because I naturally, you know, I have that habit of crossing my legs too often.
Yeah.
And when he cuts, I need to be completely...
straight.
Straight. So he makes me uncross my legs a lot. And the last thing is not tipping everyone who serves you.
Yeah.
If a different person shampoos you or a different person does this or that for you, you really are supposed to tip around the salon.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. The previous salon was like that, but, you know, Jennifer's an all-in-one kind of person now. So.
Excellent. Join us anytime. You can hit us up on Facebook, on Instagram, or you can call 877-310-4MSJ.
Yes. Becky, what's going on?
I just want to thank y'all for y'all's show. You make my morning every day, and it starts me off on a good foot.
Yay.
So thank you so much for that. Sweet. But I just had to call and just tell you, I just wanted to make a comment about a good haircut and a bad haircut.
Yes.
And do you know what the difference is between a good haircut and a bad haircut?
About $30.
No, about 6 weeks.
Oh, yes, about 6 weeks. You are right.
So, anyway, Jody, you always look beautiful, so I can't imagine anything is wrong with the haircut.
Aww.
It's just different.
You're sweet for that. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. No, I just feel weird because my hair is
different.
So much shorter than it normally. I keep feeling for it lower, and I can't find it.
Uh-oh.
Isn't it all? It's always about how we feel. About ourselves.
No, I truly understand.
Yeah.
I walk out of the hair salon some days going perfect, and I walk out of the hair salon going, well, it's a little shorter than I wanted, but it'll grow.
It's a hard job. I know it's a hard job to try to please people with their very own specific insecurities. I'm sure it's hard.
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, y'all have a fantastic day.
You too.
I love the show.
Thank you, Becky.
You have
a good one, too.
Uh-huh.
I have noticed that for the last several days, Jody, you're constantly grabbing.
Pulling it. Trying to make it grow
longer.
Trying
to make it longer.
I'm not upset with my hairdresser. He's actually a dear friend of mine, but he just cut more than we've ever talked about.
Yeah.
And we were busy visiting, and I looked up, and all my hair was on the floor. I was like, whoa.
He did it for a good reason, though.
Yeah, he didn't do it just because you were busy visiting,
all those
right?
split ends.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what he said, didn't he?
That's what he said. You don't need to say it.
I still don't know what split ends are.
Don't worry. They're gone now. We love hearing from you. Keep it coming. 877-310-4MSJ.
Trending now. Jody's Hollywood Outsider.
Powered by State Farm.
There is a documentary coming to Apple TV this month, and we've heard a lot about it. Still a Michael J. Fox movie where he's opened up about all of the things he's dealt with all these years, 30 years. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's when he was 29 years old. It was like 1991.
Wow.
And he's lived
that
with it.
That was in his prime, too.
It was. And that's what's unbelievable. If you watch this documentary, you're going to learn about Parkinson's in a way from a person who's been living with it for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll also, it's like you feel like you know him.
Yeah.
So it's personal too.
Right.
Here's the one of the takeaways from recent. Oh my goodness, he told an interviewer recently that during that time, right before he met and married his wife, he's been with forever, he was in his prime and he was dating whoever he wanted to in Hollywood. He dated Susanna Hoffs from the Bengals.
Oh, wow.
But he doesn't remember it. Parkinson's took that from him. Can you believe that? He looks back at pictures. He's like, oh, yeah, I dated her. I remember none of it. Isn't that horrible?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Apparently, it also affects his short-term. It's long-term memory loss, but short-term, too. Like, that's why he's not worked in years, because he's looking at scripts, and he needs to get on the set, and he can't remember it.
And what has he forgotten about his marriage to Tracy?
His family.
You know, his family.
It's called Still, a Michael J. Fox movie on Apple TV, May the 12th.
Sam, have you ever had any mystery blood stains around your house?
Well, we do.
None that I'll admit to.
Okay, so
good answer. Okay.
This actually, Jody and I had some mystery blood stains we were having to track down the other day.
It wasn't because of Mr. Type 1 Diabetic.
Yeah.
Where you used to prick your finger all the time to check your blood sugar, and then I would see blood smears around around door handles, and it was like, I would clean constantly.
You know, I forgot about that. I also have notes from that time period that are bloodstained notebooks. But
hey, remember I gave you that ultraviolet flashlight, too.
Spot it.
Yeah, you can look for more forensics. Blood stains.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you used that flashlight?
Yeah, once or twice, you know. I really want to bring it to a hotel. That's
but, right, don't tell me if you do that. I don't want to know.
Oh, my God.
Hey, check out the bedspread.
I don't want to know.
So these mystery blood stains, Jody and I are going around the house. We were concerned that it was a scuffle between, you know, the new dog and the other dogs.
Oh. Or maybe an ear got nicked or something because there was blood.
But everywhere we looked, it was like a little line. And there was a little line. They were all at the same height.
Level.
A little line here, a little line there, line. And we started finding them all over the house. And Phoebe, our youngest daughter, walks out and she says, yeah, I think she's been biting her tail or she's got a cut on her tail. Oh, so
my favorite part of this story is that Phoebe, he and I were like imagining the worst. Like, I wonder if Edie jumped her. Like, we were just imagining.
I was checking every dog for blood and cuts and all that.
See which one's got a knife.
Yeah, right. So we were like, you know, combing through the fur of all of them. No, nobody's hurt.
He's in here doing surgery.
But I should have realized it because these were all uniform.
Yeah.
Same little lines. And of course, that's what it was. It was her tail just kind of hitting.
Which dog?
She's excited.
The new foster dog. Her tail is wagging.
Right.
You know, it has a little nick in it because she's biting it.
Yeah.
And it bled. And then you can see every door that she was excited to go in and out of with the little smears.
The other thing that I discovered, too, same time when we were combing through all the fur. This is really weird. I didn't tell you this, Sam. I bleached the patio over the weekend.
Yeah.
And apparently Edie, our black lab, went and laid in some spots. So she has a gray butt.
So she's
now.
A Dalmatian now.
Exactly.
She has a pattern, a bright spotted pattern on her butt.
Aww.